Hello everyone and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly news roundup podcast, where we take a critical look at a number of topical developments from the past few days with the leadership and management theme. I am Rod Jones, content manager at the Institute, and in this podcast we will be looking at news up to the 15th of June 2020. Joining me to analyse these stories is Kate Cooper, Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Rod.
Our first story asks why employers must harness learning and development technologies. According to a new report from CIPD and Accenture, less than a third of organisations have implemented clear learning and development plans for their staff, and many are lagging behind on the adoption of novel digital learning solutions. Based on a poll of 1,200 employers, Learning and Skills at Work 2020 reveals that 21% of respondents do not use any technology at all to support staff learning, while many others lean primarily on classroom experiences. The survey also found that many employees lack the roles and skills required to deliver digital learning, with, for example, in-house L&D roles still dominated by face-to-face trainers. Kate, how can leaders be encouraged to find out more about learning and development technologies and ensure that they take full advantage of them in a structured, systematic way?
Well, Rod, I don't know when this survey was conducted. I think it must have been pre-COVID-19 because, of course, so many tutors, trainers, coaches have found themselves having to deliver their training, their development interventions online. And there has certainly been a huge amount of upskilling in terms of digital capability. And what I hope will persist, as we found at our online learning conference in May, that it's a different way of delivering learning. And you must start with the fact that it's online rather than, well, I do this in the classroom, I'll just try and do that the same way. So instead of talking to a class, I'll Zoom to a class. You have to start with the learners, what it is you want them to achieve from the learning intervention, and design accordingly, taking into account that you're not in the same room as them. But I think, as with so many things, sometimes things are slow to catch on and sometimes they're quick. And because of COVID-19 forcing us to use digital solutions, often in very innovative ways, that trend will continue.
Thank you, Kate. And our next story asks if line managers are struggling with COVID-19 remote working. Following a poll of 2,000 professionals who are all currently employed, workforce behaviour consultants MindGym warned that employees taking advantage of remote working patterns to disguise slack time in their schedules could trigger a productivity collapse. According to the poll, almost half of respondents said they can do over 2 hours less work per day without their line manager noticing. It also found that one third of UK workers are less motivated in their jobs and, as a result, admit to being less productive, and half claim that their managers have no impact on their performance whatsoever during remote working. With UK PLC facing a productivity drop of 30% per week as a result of these issues, MindGym says that its findings highlight a business critical need for stronger leadership and management as remote working continues. Its co-founder and CEO, Octavius Black, said, "Given the anxiety from lockdown and the ineffectiveness of managers in this new environment, masses of UK workers are likely either to opt out or burn out. The impact on UK's productivity would be catastrophic. The way to prevent this crisis is not to stop remote working, which, when properly handled, can bring great benefits, but for leaders to step up and develop the new managerial muscles needed to lead effectively in this turbulent era." Kate, how must leaders develop these new managerial muscles to provide a more effective approach to remote working?
Well, Rod, if we think about our own research that we conducted about going remote, one of the big dangers of working remotely is micromanagement. I am frequently puzzled by calls for strong leadership because I don't really know what it means. Does it mean a sort of micro leadership, which we know will be just as damaging as micromanagement? Do we assume that because we can see people that they're being productive? Do we assume that because managers are having no impact on the performance of people when they're working remotely, miraculously, they have a positive impact on their performance when they're sitting a couple of desks away? I'm just wondering whether this is, when you actually look at the statistics, only one third are less motivated. We know that people who are working alone at home, many of them are missing their colleagues, and that will, of course, impact your motivation. To make the assumption or the connection that somehow that management is failing in this context rather more than perhaps they were failing previously, I think is a flawed assumption. And I'm disappointed when I see calls for strong leadership, managerial muscles as being a solution to any problem, because it's so undemocratic and so one way. The solution to productivity problems lie with everybody. They're not just responsibility of an individual to somehow fix it on his or her own.
Well, thank you very much, Kate. Our next story asks if white board members should vacate their seats for Black, Asian and minority ethnic figures. Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian sparked a flurry of online commentary recently by announcing that he has resigned from the social network's board and recommended that the remaining members should fill his seat with a Black candidate. Ohanian unveiled his decision in response to the Black Lives Matter protests that have unfolded across the world following the death of Minneapolis resident George Floyd during an arrest by local police. In a blog post repeating the content of a threaded Twitter statement, Ohanian wrote, "I co-founded Reddit 15 years ago to help people find community and a sense of belonging. It is long overdue to do the right thing. I'm doing this for me, for my family, and for my country. I'm writing this as a father who needs to be able to answer his Black daughter when she asks, 'What did you do?'" He added, "I believe resignation can actually be an act of leadership from people in power right now." Kate, is Ohanian correct to say that resignation to address such disparities is an act of leadership?
I know I've read quite a lot of commentary on this, and he has been accused of virtue signalling, and other commenters have said that people should be elected to such positions on merit. But to me, the really powerful statement that this is making is, firstly, if you're going to increase representation of diverse groups, you are going to, by definition, reduce representation of other, in this case, white groups. And that is going to have personal consequences for individuals that will resist them. And just as we have imposter syndrome that we hear so much about, people traditionally associated with females getting to positions in organizations and feeling that they don't deserve it somehow and they're going to be caught out, we also have so many people in positions in organizations who are not challenged by imposter syndrome, but somehow think that they are there entirely on merit, that they're absolutely the best candidate for the job. And this cannot be the case all of the time. And I think what Ohanian is saying, actually, do you know what? There's a lot of people that could do this job. I'm not the only person who can make a great contribution. And therefore, use my position, use my vacancy to become more diverse. So whatever his motivation is, Reddit's not going to struggle as a result of this, because it's undoubtedly the case. There will be many, many people who will be able to do a good job.
Thank you, Kate. Our final story is taken from Fast Company, reporting that tokenism can hurt individual performances and the business overall. Maria Baskerville-Watkins et al. Analysed 80 studies about token employees between 1999 and 2016 for their Academia of Management Perspectives article, "It's Not Black and White, Towards a Contingency Perspective on the Consequences of Being a Token." Our review showed that tokens have a higher level of depression and stress. They're more likely to experience discrimination and sexual harassment than women and racial minorities who are working in more balanced environments. Research shows people are less satisfied and less committed at their jobs if they're tokens. Companies should be concerned about this, Watkins said. The author said that today's trends reflect the likelihood of men being tokens in various industries, as the millions of new employment opportunities that are projected to materialize in this decade are in occupations that tend to attract fewer men than women. Kate, do you agree with the authors that sprinkling underrepresented employees across teams might create a bit of diversity in every group, but those employees would still be tokens?
I think the actual description token, Rod, has done so much damage to this whole diversity movement. So funny, isn't it? Immediately we start talking about increased representation of some groups, people are saying, oh, but, you know, men will become tokens. Why are they saying that? Why is that the biggest challenge that's emerging from this research? I think what to me stands out is that if you are isolated, and if you're there as a woman or a Black person or an Asian person or a disabled person or an LGBT plus person, you're supposed to represent that whole community on your own. And that is a really, really lonely place to be. So firstly, maybe you think, how can I speak for everybody? I can only speak for myself. So no wonder people are becoming depressed and finding it very stressful. And you don't have any allies. Anyone that takes notice of office politics knows how important the forming of alliances are and how so many things get progressed and approved because of those alliances. So if you are supposedly a token, which in itself is very derogatory and often subjects people to accusations of you've only got this job because, that adds to that stress, adds to the likely depression and that feeling of isolation and feeling you can't really make a contribution or as you would if you didn't have the weight of all those other expectations on your shoulders. So I don't think this research is helpful in the sense of the conclusions that they've been reached, other than don't sprinkle diversity, as they're suggesting. Just think about issues of isolation, thinking about how you support everybody when you are genuinely trying to create an inclusive culture at work.
Well, thank you, Kate. And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. And listeners can find further topical content in the News and Views section on the Institute's website at www.instituteLM.com. And thank you once again, Kate, for your insights on these stories.
Thank you, Rod.